Now, please turn with me to the reading of God's word from Genesis chapter 50 at verse 15. And we read through the first part of Exodus 7 because they are connected together. And remember, this is not man's word, but the life-giving word of the living God. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "Perhaps Joseph will hate us and may actually repay us for all the evil which we did to him." So they sent messengers to Joseph, saying, "Before your father died, he commanded, saying, 'Thus you shall say to Joseph, I beg you, please forgive the trespass of your brothers and their sin. For they did evil to you. Now please forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of your father.' And Joseph wept when they spoke to him. Then his brothers also came and fell down before his face. And they said, 'Behold, we are your servants.' Joseph said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, you meant it evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring it about as it is this day, to save many people alive. Now, therefore, do not be afraid. I will provide for you and your little ones.' And he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. So Joseph dwelt in Egypt, he and his father's household, and Joseph lived 110 years. Joseph saw Ephraim's children to the third generation, the children of Machir, the son of Manasseh, were also brought up on Joseph's knees. And Joseph said to his brethren, 'I am dying, but God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land to the land which he swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob.' Then Joseph took an oath from the children of Israel, saying, 'God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones from here.' So Joseph died, being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. Now these are the names of the children of Israel who came to Egypt. Each man and his household came with Jacob: Reuben, Simeon, Levi, and Judah, Issachar, Zebulun, and Benjamin, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, and Asher. All those who were descendants of Jacob were 70 persons, for Joseph was in Egypt already. And Joseph died, and all his brothers and all that generation, but the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly, multiplied and grew exceedingly mighty, and the land was filled with them. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God abides forever. And it is the will of our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that we receive his word not only in our minds, but also in our hearts, and live it out in our lives. Brothers and sisters, it is an amazing story, but it shouldn't amaze us as we understand God's wonderful sovereign rule in history to carry out his purposes. We need to read in between the lines and not just devotionally read the Bible, but understand the depth of what God is saying to us here. The Christian faith is not about mere religious piety. The Christian faith is not about religion at all. The Christian faith is not about Bible stories. Sadly, a lot of Old Testament Bible stories are taught, and they are not given the real meaning in the context of God's sovereign plan in history. Genesis ends where Exodus begins, and Exodus begins where Genesis ends. But they all go back to the very beginning. I hope we can see that and think more, not just this morning. Think more, God's design, God's plan, God's wonderful control and maneuvering and directing of all things to carry out his purposes. And his purposes are very clear. They all focus on the one and only, the one who is the true revelation of the true God, the Lord Jesus. We have here a story of the same scheming, cunning, self-centered brothers of Joseph. Their father dies. And look at their thinking. They do not understand what it's all about. All their thinking now is about themselves. They're still guilt-ridden. They still do not know the true meaning of God's redemption. They come to Joseph, and they're still a bunch of liars. You remember how they wanted to kill their brother, and then after they sold him, they came with a lie about him being eaten up by a wild animal. Joseph spent a lot of time with his father before he died. And if Jacob wanted to say something to Joseph, he would have said it. But look at their thinking. The only reason Joseph has been patient with us, has been kind to us, was his love for our father, his respect for our father, and our father is gone. Now it is time for him to avenge himself of our terrible deeds. So they come and tell him a tale. Please think with me about this. The Holy Spirit tells us in verse 17 that when they said this to Joseph at the end, we are told, and Joseph wept when they spoke to him. Why did he weep? We need to understand this in the context. Was it because they didn't trust him? They didn't trust him. He knew that. Was it because they told him a lie? He knew that they were cheats and liars, and they were self-centered. Notice how Joseph responds to them. Even as they come and fulfill the dream that made them mad, they come and bow down before him and they say to him, Indeed, indeed, we are your servants. But they were not truly the servants of the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob. They come to him fearing for themselves, fearing for their own needs. They thought, here he is, he's going to kick us out. We are not going to enjoy this good life that we have in Egypt because of him. As long as he was there, and he was accounting for their father, they thought there was good life, but now they could become destitute, kicked out back to the desert. Look at what Joseph says to them, verse 19. Do not be afraid. He doesn't say, I am not going to do anything to you. He says, do not be afraid. He reminds them of who God is and what God does. Am I in the place of God? Are you afraid of me? Who should you be afraid of? Who should you account to? Are you afraid of me? Are you not accounting for God? But there is more to it. Yes, you are sinners. You are terrible people. But look how God turned even your terrible crime, your terrible sin, the worst you could have done, your own brother, wanting to kill him, selling him out. Can't you see how God turned your evil into good? Can't you see the end? Can't you see how God does things in history, and there is always an end? There is always a goal. There's always an objective. And God's objective, notice what you see today, he says to them. What you and I see today. The saving of many lives. God doesn't lose lives. God doesn't lose a battle. God doesn't lose those that belong to him. Don't you see, he says to them, don't you understand the kingdom of God? Don't you understand the righteousness of God? Don't you seek the kingdom of God and righteousness? Are you still self-centered? Are you still self-focused? He says to them. Are you still blinded by the things of the world, by the passing things? Can't you see the vision? Can't you see what God is doing? It's true today, brothers and sisters. People who call themselves Christians, claim to be Christians, they don't have this understanding. Their minds are focused on small things, little things. Brothers and sisters, he says to them, if you are concerned about material things, look at how God provides. That's what Jesus teaches us. You seek first the kingdom of God and righteousness and all these other things will be added to you. He says to them, don't be afraid, I am God's agent. I will provide for you and for your little ones. And that's what comforted them. He is not going to avenge himself of them. He is going to provide for them and for their little ones. But that's not the whole story. Joseph has a plan. And Joseph has a vision. Joseph has a commitment to a vision, to God's plan. He makes them understand that he is not afraid of death. Notice, he says to them, I am dying. Please take me to the best hospital. I don't want to die. Is this what he said? Please bring the faith healers. Those bogus ones. Oh, please. No, he says to them, I am dying. But look, God surely will visit you. It's not about me, he says. I'm only part of the connection, part of this plan of God. Did you see how God, even a person like me you wanted to kill, God has used? Do you see? Do you understand now that God is not going to let go of his plan? He will visit you. And his plan, he promised. You read about that in Genesis 15. When God said to Abraham, yes, you too are going to die. It's not going to be in your days. In fact, your descendants are going to be enslaved for 400 years. You read about that in Genesis 15. It didn't matter to Abraham because he too understood that God will not fail. God will continue to carry out his plan. And notice here, God will visit you, and he will bring you out of this land to the land which he swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. The land was necessary. Now, evangelicals are confused. I am sorry to say this, because the land was necessary. The nation was needed for a purpose. God was never for one race. Notice, God said to Abraham, I am going to make you a great nation. I'm going to give you the land. But I have a plan. In this plan, there will be many who will oppose me. And they will be cursed. But those who cooperate with my plan will be blessed. Our brother read that this morning from Genesis 12, verses 1 to 3. And what is the end of it? God has a plan. And what's the end of it? The end of verse 3 of Genesis guides us to here. That's what Joseph had in mind. That's what Jacob finally learned. That's what Isaac lived for. That's what David longed for. That seed. He comes not related to the first Adam. That seed that comes as the new Adam. In the same way, the first Adam received his soul by the breath of God, the Holy Spirit, the second Adam comes sinless, fully human, receiving his human soul through the Holy Spirit. Brothers and sisters, the seed promised to come through the line of Abraham, of Isaac, of Jacob, of David. Joseph had that in mind also. He says to them, because God has a plan, he will fulfill your plan, his plan. He promised a land. He promised a nation. And guess what? You are going to commit yourselves to taking my bones with you. He was sure of it. He was sure that they will be taken out of Egypt back to fulfill God's plan. Now, you can be sure Joseph did not care about his bones. They become dust. But he wants them. You see, if he cared about his bones, if they were so important to him, you remember you read earlier about the funeral of Jacob, their father. All the dignitaries of Egypt went all the way from Egypt to Palestine to have Jacob buried in the same cave of Machpelah where Abraham, Isaac, Sarah were buried. Jacob was buried there. But Joseph says to them, no, my bones are going to stay with you. This is the surety. This is the reminder. Oh, gee, God uses bones, you see, to remind them, we promised and God has promised and we are going to hold to the promise of God. And Joseph died a happy man. You read about that again, also about Abraham himself in chapter 25 of Genesis. He died a happy man, even as he distracted all his other children from the direction of Isaac. He died a happy man because he had this hope. He had his eyes focused on the end result. It didn't matter. You see, even Ishmael comes in chapter 25, we read, even Ishmael, if I were there, I know myself, and my father did to me what he did, what Abraham did to Ishmael and to his mother, I wouldn't have cared to attend his funeral. But there you see, Ishmael comes, and he co-officiates over the funeral with Isaac. And it didn't matter. You know why? Because they learned from Abraham that it doesn't matter through whom it comes, because the blessing is for all families of the earth. Brothers and sisters, Joseph dies, and now there is a lot of thinking going on. There is a lot of meditating. These people begin to realize we are bad people. We do not understand God's plan. And he reminds them, you see, how God plans and his plans takes steps, one step at a time. And look at all this. The Son of Man, Jesus says, he came to save the lost. The Bible ends, the last book of the Bible, and you see this great, innumerable multitude from every tongue, tribe, kindred, and nation, Jews and Gentiles, the body of the Lord Jesus. He was the firstborn from the dead, and we follow one by one and join our brothers and sisters. From Adam all the way until our number is complete. They multiply in Egypt for what purpose? Because that's part of the plan. And you and I, when we multiply, you and I, when we are blessed, it's part of God's plan. Because we are not complete without the rest of them. We're after the rest of them from Mexico, from Brazil, from Alaska, from among the Indians and the Eskimos, from Africa, from Asia, from every tongue, from the among the Muslims. Brothers and sisters, hallelujah. We can say that missions is not about maybe. Missions is not about the effort of man. Missions is not about just us in our weaknesses, in our resources. Jesus' missions is about this sovereign God who has all things in his hands. And you all know Romans 8:28. And I want to remind you that Romans 8:28 does not begin by all things work out together, but by a very important word that we see in Genesis 12, verse 3, the word and. In Greek, in the New Testament, in Hebrew, in the Old Testament, that word is accurately translated and, but actually the meaning of it as a result. Consequently, all families will be blessed, Genesis 12, verse 3, and Romans 8, 28, and in the context there, even in the context of suffering, in the context of opposition, in the context today, yes, in the context of apostasy, in the context of the kidnapping of the claim that they belong to the Reformed faith or they belong to Christ or that they are proclaiming the gospel. And we know that all things, even those things, there is a blessing for those who are faithful, who are following the line, the blessing of comfort and peace, of assurance, of joy. But also there is the blessing of frustration, of failure, of lack of hope, of desperation, of confusion for those who reject the pure and perfect plan of God in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the work of the Great Commission, the work of missions, is about this final end. When this wonderful, colorful body called the church, the body of Christ, the bride of Christ, is perfect, complete, gathered, edified, sanctified, glorified, and presented to him, because he has their names there and he already claims them in the book of life. He has the title deed and he says, they are mine. Here I am and the children you have given me. That's Jesus from eternity. He covenanted to pay the price. And as he paid the price, he went back to heaven and he claimed what he paid for. This is not a man plan. This is not a human, mere human imagination. This is God's plan in history. Let's pray. triune God, holy, almighty, all wise, all goodness, the self-giving God, the God who is unchanging, unchangeable in all your ways, we praise you. For you have given us in Jesus Christ, as the Holy Spirit has revealed and preserved in the Scriptures, not the schemes of man, not a kingdom that perishes, not a land that has no value, but you have given us a citizenship in that wonderful Jerusalem coming down from heaven, not from man, but from Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. May the riches of your grace, may the powerful conviction abide from your word, the riches of your word and grace in our lives, in our setting up of our priorities. And we thank you that it is a firm hope, because all things are amen in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.